Thank you, Lord. Sunday morning. This is November the 10th, 2019. Oh, the Lord is so good to us. He's so good to us. The title of this is Shame Equals No Victory. Thank you, Lord. This is the word of prophecy that come forth there. If we knew how much God loved us, I don't think we'd ever have a down-in-the-mouth moment. It's just that we gauge our Heavenly Father by earthly father. If you had an earthly father that beat you in the face and beat the crap out of you with a big belt, you're not going to see your Heavenly Father maybe the way you ought to. And so it's the goodness of God that leads men towards repentance. We see the difference in an earthly father, not to demean our fathers. They were probably done the same way, and they did their children that way. I know I was hard on my kids. But God is not a punisher. He never will be. He's not waiting to see if you're going to make a mistake, so get out his big hammer and ping you on the head with it. No, as far as He is concerned, you're seated with Him in heavenly places in the throne already. A privileged place, the highest place. Because of what Jesus did, He was seated with the Father, then it seated us with the Father. You know, I guess if we were raised royal, maybe we might have an understanding more of how this works. They don't bow to anybody. They don't take orders. They give them. They rule and reign. And so the Lord began to speak to me yesterday about shame. And shame causes you to lose your victory. And we're going to look at that through the scriptures as I go here. The first one I will look at is Romans 8. This is going to be verse 1. We're going to look at the life of Paul a little bit. I think I understand Paul and Paul's life. He was ashamed of what he did to the church. And he had to learn. He learned to be victorious and receive forgiveness for that. And I don't think he could have been victorious. You can read all through the book of Romans. The very thing I want to do, I can't do, and I don't, you know. He had a struggle. But we saw how a man like Paul went from the shame of killing the Lord's church to a place of total victory, the resurrection power. Even Peter experienced that with the Lord when he denied him. Peter got over it. And then you see him on the day, in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 souls were saved. All right, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now it's further down in my notes. I came across it yesterday. I think it's, let me look. Well, I thought I wrote it down here. Okay, in the Septuagint, that word condemnation actually means disgrace. Disgrace, which would be the opposite of grace, right? Now maybe you can start to see the parallel between shame, no victory. Grace, victory. Disgrace, shame. Condemnation. What is, condemnation of the strongs is an adverse sentence. In other words, you feel like something's hanging over you. You've done something wrong. And if you have that hanging over you, you'll be a failure in life. You were told you wouldn't amount to anything. All someone could ever say to you is some derogatory remark. See, that's what's so sad, because whenever a child is raised up biblically, and I don't mean religiously, I mean biblically, with the respect and honor of the parents and all that goes with that, they're taught actually to honor God because of a godly father. Okay, the vine says this. This is katechrema. Actually, one of the other words with katechrino, it signifies to give judgment against or pass sentence upon, hence to condemn, imputation of a crime, as in the condemnation of Christ by the Jews. Thank God Jesus took it for us. Okay, Romans verse 3 there says, for what the law could not do, and that it was weak through the flesh, God sent in his own Son the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. You could say he condemned the condemned. He condemned condemnation. All right. Now, the rest of that, katerima, the sentence pronounced the condemnation with the suggestion of the punishment following. So that word, condemnation, that's what it means. The sentence pronounced the condemnation with a suggestion of the punishment following. It's a law. Law. We've been made free from the law of sin and death. You can't condemn yourself and walk in grace. All right, let's turn to Romans 5:16. Telling you, this book in Romans is how Paul got free. I think this was maybe the first of the revelation he began to receive, because he was struggling. He was struggling with what he did. But he said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. It wasn't by being a Pharisee. It was by the grace of God. Okay, this is 16. Okay, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. So if you're justified, then there's no shame in you, no blame in you. You're just. It's how God sees us. You can't condemn yourself and walk in grace. Condemnation is a law of sin and death. Confidence is free from the law of sin and death. Go back over to 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. All right, now go with me to Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 14. Is that right? Hold on. Hebrews 6. Yep, that's right. All right. Saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. And I think I wrote down the wrong one. Let me look here. I don't like it when I do that. Let me look. Well, I'm not sure. Hebrews 4. Well, I'm sure it was good. Let's read 4. Maybe that's it. 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest who cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Yeah, this is it. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Before the Israelites could go in and take Jericho, God had to do a very special thing for them. Now, keep in mind, they saw their parents coming out of Egypt. They saw the 10 times that they tempted the Lord and all the stuff that happened. They were all witnesses of this, and they probably thought, oh. All right, Joshua 5. God wanted them to walk by faith. He didn't want them to walk by the law. This is 5 verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from off you. Wherefore the name of the place is called Gilgal, and to this day Gilgal means rolling. So God rolled the reproach off of them. That's what the world does to you. It just beats you down, chews you up, and spits you out if you let it. The Septuagint uses the word disgrace instead of reproach. That was where it was, not condemnation. I couldn't find it a while ago. Disgrace, where there that's reproach there, it's the orthodox, whatever. It's disgrace. Reproach is to express disappointment in or displeasure with a person for conduct that is blameworthy. Disgrace is the